Yo, welcome to the Miami Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Saeed. I'm with my co-host, West Coast Soul.
There it is. Second. Don't forget to add the second. Until I got to add a third. Until I get blocked again.
And Jumpman Zach 305 will be on soon. Okay, what's going on, man.
My last couple days off. Then I hop back into work, man, working night shifts. Just been switched over to the iPhone. You know, I'm an iPhone guy now, so I'm going to get ready to talk shit about Android soon enough once I get my feet wet, everything iPhone related. But other than that, everything's good on this side, man. How you holding up?
So, I'm just chilling, man. I'm just excited, man. I mean, this is the first sporting event, really, in, like, how long, man? A month? It's not a sporting event, but to me, it was a sporting event. It was the draft.
Excited. I will say, shout-out to WNBA, though. They did have their virtual draft. I know a lot of you didn't pay attention. I do want to give them respect, though, man. Yo, people be coming at them, but, like...
Did you see that? Did you see the Adam Schefter?
Nah. Yeah. He was, like... The first sporting event or something like that, and they're like, we literally had a WNBA 3 days ago. Yeah, no, hey, a lot of guys, we got to start supporting that WNBA more, man, for real, because, like, yes, it's not the NBA, but it's still sports, man, and they're good. So I do wish that we could, because if I had a daughter and she wanted to be in WNBA, I'd support it 100%, and I'd want people to support it. So I'm like, I'm going to try to start supporting it more, because they're athletes, and they're still better than the average guy at basketball. No matter what, you know what I'm saying? So I think we need to start getting more respect as athletes. But I said I'd throw that out there. Now, back to NFL draft. They did break. That was the highest viewed NFL draft in the history of the NFL. I saw that notification come up. The most viewed NFL draft. Had like a little, I know a lot of people had draft parties. I had a little one with some guys, some family members from like back home. We just kind of did like a, went online, and I streamed a draft from my laptop, and we took a shot for every pick we had wrong. And then about, like, 15 picks in, we're like, yo, we got to take it. Because, of course, the Raiders went and picked up Henry Ruggs. No one saw that. You know what I'm saying? But, no, it was good, man. The draft was pretty good for us. Did you watch it?
Did you get a chance to watch? Yeah. I watched the first round intently. You know, I was pumped for it. Second and third round, I caught a good amount of it. But once it got to third day, I was like, nah, I really don't want to watch this anymore. I really just wanted to see where the Hurricanes were going to get picked. But I thought it was cool, man. I thought the setup, like the way they set up everything was, I thought it was
good. I thought it was cool. And it got a lot of attention, man. It was fun. See,
CeeDee Lamb.
It was a good time. He tried to go on. It was like, oh, it wasn't even like that. Ever like, okay, dude. All right, dude, whatever. We all know what it's like, dude. But you know, it's fun because everybody's in the house, so it was still entertaining. It was fun to watch.
So let's talk about the Dolphins, okay? The fifth pick they chose Tua. Like, okay, because you're a Dolphins fan, describe your emotions moments before.
So they announced. Remember, we're live streaming, right? And it was me, and there was some other Dolphin fans because most of the family's from Miami. And I'm not gonna lie, I was nervous, bro, because historically speaking, since Dan Marino. They've never drafted a quarterback that we wanted, right? They drafted Ryan Tannehill, but nobody was fucking tracking Ryan Tannehill. And I mean, I liked Ryan. I thought he did good, but, you know, it is what it is. And we finally got a quarterback that we wanted. Finally. And I was like, I was so fucking, like, when that pick came through, like, I'm pretty sure I had tears coming out of my eyes, bro. Like, I'm pretty sure. Because I was like, we actually did it. I was jumping up, screaming. Bro, I'm smiling right now thinking about it. Because we never get the guy we want. As a Dolphins fan, we never get the guy we want. And we finally, finally got to it, bro. I was like, at that point, it didn't really even matter. Like, I wasn't going to be angry whoever else we drafted. We could have drafted 7 kickers. And I'd have felt a little bit angry, but I'd have said, like, you know what? It's the Dolphins. At least they gave me Tua. You know what I'm saying? So, man.
Yeah. And
his mom loves Miami. She was like, she wanted him to get drafted there. Like, it's everything. It's a perfect storm. It's a perfect fit. When he was in Miami for the Super Bowl, more people were more interested about him coming to Miami than the actual Super Bowl. Granted, because we need to make the playoffs, but that's not the point. The point was my people in Miami were more excited about Tua coming to the Dolphins. Now the Hurricanes do good, and we got Tua. It's gonna be a fun year. Hopefully, sports comes back, but it should be a fun year in Florida football, Miami football especially, man. Woo.
How do you feel about like the other picks?
I'm glad with the USC tackle. I'm glad with it because you draft a quarterback, you want somebody to protect him. We drafted a guy from Louisville. The only pick I wasn't happy with, it was the cornerback from Auburn that we used kind of early because we just paid 2 free agent corners, right? And like, why are you going to draft a cornerback when you could have drafted a wide receiver to complement Devontae Parker? But honestly, at the end of the day, if we drafted Tua and just like 7 linemen, I'd have been happy with that too. I am actually kind of happy with the safety pick from Texas because we let go of Rashad Jones. So all right, we need another safety. So I'm glad with that pick. And then we got a defensive tackle from Georgia. So I'm like, Raekwon Davis.
I think.
Yeah,
from Bama. I think they got a guard. You got a guard from Georgia. I think the plan is very clear.
I'm not happy with that guard from Georgia, bro. I'm be honest,
man.
Seeing his tape.
He was all on the ground.
Like, yo, what is this? And also, so the number one pick I wasn't happy with was the corner. Was I believe it was second or third round. And then the defensive end from North Carolina. When Jonathan Garvin was still on the board, I was like, what is this? What is this? The guy had like 3 sacks.
From Miami.
But he's a Tar Heel. And that's not even the point. The point is, he was third ACC team, all ACC third team. And John, like he had 3 sacks last year. I'm like, that's when you had Jonathan Garvin on the board.
He's a good player. I can tell you because I see him play. He's a good player.
And Jonathan Garvin was there. I'm like, why the fuck didn't we didn't draft any Hurricanes?
Yeah. I think Barry Jackson, I think he said that initially they were going to choose Garvin at that spot, but they switched it to
two of my top picks that I wasn't happy with, you know. But other than that, man, how'd your team do?
I mean, like I said, I don't really have a team. Yeah. Like, I followed the Panthers, but I could care less. Especially ever since they let Cam go, I'm not really messing with the Panthers right now, man. So they got the D tackle out of Auburn, who's a good player, but I wouldn't have drafted him there. But I don't care, man. especially dropping Cam, man. Like, doing that and how? Yeah, I mean, I like Teddy, but
Cam taking to the Super Bowl, you just got it them dirty, man.
Bro, do you know the quarterbacks we had before?
Yeah, Derek Anderson.
We had, bro.
Yeah, Jake Long,
Derek Anderson. Yeah, just terrible quarterback play. Terrible quarterback play, and you got a freaking superstar like Cam Newton.
Yeah,
bro, Cam Newton's a superstar.
Yeah,
he's a superstar. He's an MVP. He's been to the Super Bowl, bro. There's he's in Charlotte. There's two kings of Charlotte. There's two people who run Charlotte. It's Cam Newton and it's Michael Jordan, bro. Those are two people that run Charlotte, bro. And I'm trying to tell you, like, even like going to Hornets games, when Cam is there, you should see how much respect the NBA players show Cam. When LeBron's there, or D Wade, how much respect they show him. He's a superstar. You don't treat a superstar
like
he carried your franchise like that,
dirty.
Like that. You know, you don't just drop him.
And then they said it was a mutual split. Now, he was like, no, it wasn't. I wanted to stay here.
Yo. And you know what? Cam was carrying the Panthers.
That's
and they
true.
Had no one. When their best receiver when their best receiver was Kelvin Benjamin, who's not even in the league right now. Yeah, I don't even think he's in the league. He was carrying
Kelvin.
And now that they actually stacked the roster pretty good when they got a good running back, really good receivers, a decent line. You know, now they drop him.
Yep. Yeah, they're going out. They're going all like, in on I Teddy, just, man. We'll see.
I don't like. We'll see, man. Hurricanes.
So Hurricanes, man. Let's. Okay? This is what the people want to hear. This is what I want to talk about.
So, Shaq.
And I believe I called that
player drafted. And I immediately thought of you. I was like.
Mr. Reliable. You need it. He's a football player, man. He's gonna be there. He's gonna be there for a good amount of time.
And I think DJ got picked a few picks later, maybe like five or six picks later in the fourth round. KJ Osborne got picked up by the Vikings.
I think it was sixth or fifth round.
Sixth round.
Garvin got drafted and, by the
Garvin.
Packers. Yep. Packers. And then all the Packers other boys, everyone except Mike Pinckney got signed. So Jeff Thomas and Trayvon Hill. Yeah. He didn't want to sign until he gets fully healthy, which is, if that's the best idea, we'll see.
It's very smart,
Jeff Thomas and
so Thomas
and Trayvon Hill got picked up by Thomas the Patriots. Trajan Bandy got picked up by the Steelers. Romeo Finley got picked up by the Chargers. And I believe that's all of them, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe that's it. So, like, after the draft ended, like, how do you feel, like, about the Canes, like, how does this make you feel? What lessons did you learn?
Again, we don't know people's financial situation. We don't know their family situation, but it's like, you shouldn't have left early, man. Like, I don't know. I don't know the situation. Do what's best for you, but future Canes, like, if your draft stock, if you had a worse year than the previous year, then it's probably not smart to leave early, man. Like, just stay back. If that's the case, get the degree and try to raise your draft stock, especially if it took a hit, and then leave. Because it's like we had a lot of guys, you know, that left, and it's like I'm glad most of all got signed, but like if it doesn't work out, then what? Because remember Joe Yerby, he left, and that guy's not playing football anymore. So. I mean, again, I don't know people's situation. I'm not going to be in their pockets, but it's like, if you can, stay. Just stay and finish off, get your degree, and then try to build your draft style. If you can't, then all right. You know, if I need to go, I'll try the free agent route. I don't care. Then if that's what you need to do, I'm no one to you to tell you not to do it. But that'd be the only thing that I took from this draft is like, because we had so many juniors leave, and I'm like, bro. Bandy, I'm like, I don't know why he left. Jeff Thomas, like, I know you got family, but like, dude, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, Garvin is like, oh.
I think with Bandy and Thomas, I mean, from what you hear, it's like financial reasons, man. You know, maybe family struggling or whatnot. But yeah, man, I agree with you. I agree with you, man. I think if they're not telling you if you're not projected as a first or second round pick, maybe third round pick at the most,
stay and try to get it better, man. Next year.
Stay. Like an example, Derek Brown, the guy who got picked number 7 from Auburn. You know, he was projected like second round pick, man. He stayed.
Dude, Joe Burrow was projected 7th round. He was number 1 pick.
Yeah.
He was projected 7th round quarterback. Side note, I don't know if you've been keeping track, but I only saw one Seminole get drafted. Yeesh. One. Because there was some Gators talking shit on Twitter. Oh, no Canes get drafted yet. And that's, you know, we got 4 Canes get drafted. All but one sign a contract. And once Pinckney gets healthy, I'm sure he'll sign somewhere too. So that's like, all right, well, keep talking shit, but we still putting boys. And the most important thing is we're still putting boys in the league. Goes to show, hey, man, you still go to Miami, you can still get in the league.
But here's my thing, okay? And one thing I noticed. If it's important for the program, if your program is a winning program, you get drafted so much higher.
That's true.
If you're playing on a team or in a program that's not doing too well or it's underachieving, you get underdrafted. Okay, here's my example. Okay, Chad Thomas, Jonathan Garvin. Who do you think was
better? I'm gonna say Chad Thomas, man.
I think it was comparable. As far as production, okay? I think they're about the same type player. I like Garvin a little bit better. You might like Chad Thomas a little bit better, but I think it's comparable, okay? You know, Chad Thomas, the year he got drafted, we finished
9-4.
Finished 9-4. Yeah, won our bowl game. He gets drafted in the 3rd round. Garvin, who I think is comparable, I think he had better measurables. I think he ran faster. And I think his bench press was better. I think he had a better combine than Chad Thomas. So pretty much a comparable player. And he gets drafted in the 7th round, coming off, you know, a 6-7 season. So I think the way people view your program and winning just really affects your draft style.
No, I definitely agree with
what
that.
What do you think about that?
I do think it, because it's like you see, like, I mean, dude, we have boys put up numbers, man. Yeah, exactly.
See the Bama
perfect
players.
Example, Bama players.
You see the Bama players, man. Yeah, you can have Bama players as long as they play on Bama, even if they underachieve. Like homeboy Raekwon Davis, okay? He was a 5-star recruit, I believe. He might have been the number 1 player in the country, or, you know, one of the top players in the country. And he's underachieved, just straight up. He's underachieved, you know? But he played at Bama, and he has great measurables. He gets, gets picked in the 3rd round.
I don't know how some of these work, man, because you have guys like running backs out of UCLA that are getting like 400-some yards, getting drafted above DJ Dallas. You know what I'm saying? Who's playing in the ACC, which is a better defensive conference than the Pac-12. So I don't know how some of these things work, man. You're getting these running backs. I'm like, this dude is nowhere close to DJ. He's getting drafted. Like, DJ is way, way more productive, but...
Another example. Piron from Florida, okay? DJ Dallas. Piron got picked ahead of DJ. I mean, we've seen him play head-to-head.
And DJ is the better runner back.
You know, we saw what DJ did against Florida versus what Piron did against us. You know, Piron's not—he's not a bad player. But DJ's, to me, he's obviously
DJ's a better pass blocker. He's a better runner.
No,
like,
much better.
I would give Piron like the better pass catcher. DJ can also do that. Catch out the backfield. He's definitely the better run blocker, pass blocker. And I think he's a better overall running back. So I don't understand how these GMs do it. I'm not a GM.
Winning program versus I mean, mine was a losing program.
Right. And that, I think that's it. Because, dude, you look at the head-to-head, the overall. Like, DJ didn't really disappear in any games. Like, I'm not saying he got 100 yards a game, but he didn't disappear. He was getting yards on the ground, you know, through the air. Special teams, like, DJ didn't disappear in any game. So, there's that.
Yeah, and they both had crappy offensive lines. Yeah.
Ours is worse, though, but yeah.
Ours was worse.
Hopefully that's six this year. It's been so long, I forgot how bad they were. Sheesh. Sheesh.
All right. Which team do you think had the best draft as far as from what you noticed?
Man. I mean, I think I'm a little biased, but I'm gonna say we did, man, because I feel like for the most part, every position in need that we had, we addressed. And we didn't draft a running back, but we traded for the Niners running back, who, from what I'm hearing, was a stud, right? So it's like, we literally addressed every position in need. We didn't really have to give up anything. So I think that we did. I think we did. I would say we did the best, man. I don't know. This is me, though.
Are you happy with the long snapper they
selected? No. I believe who the fuck needs to draft a long snapper?
You could have had Jeff Thomas. You could have had John Garvin. Bro, you could have had Trayvon Hill.
Yeah, I'll say we addressed positions of need. I'm not saying we made the smartest decisions, but all the positions we needed were addressed. Now, as far as worst, I would say what threw me off was, why the fuck did the Bills draft Jake Fromm?
I thought that was a good pick.
Really? Because he didn't draft a quarterback the year before. So I was like,
here's my thing. And I want to get into two quarterbacks. I want to talk about two quarterbacks, okay? Jake Fromm and Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen, I don't really believe in him, okay? I think he's a solid quarterback. I think he's it seems like he's more of a runner than a true pocket passer at this point. And I think Fromm, I think he's a steady quarterback. And I know a lot of Georgia fans really don't like him just because of what happened with Justin Fields.
Yeah,
far as Kirby choosing him over Justin Fields. But I think he's a steady quarterback, and that team is really built to win, man. Now, they got a great defense. They got Stephon Diggs. So they have a really good wide receiver core, good offensive line. They got Singletary, and I think they just got Zach Moss, too. So they kind of stacked their running back. So basically everything is built to win. You just need that consistent quarterback play. And if Josh Allen can't get it done, or if he's inconsistent, I think Fromm could go in there, and I think he could win the job, you know, or he could take the job from him if Allen gets injured, or if Allen
I mean, no time soon, I'd say that. But I mean, we'll see. I don't, and the Jalen Hurts one, I get it, because Carson Wentz is always getting injured. But it's like, I guess, dude, I feel like he'd have been there a little later, but I don't know. Teams that have an established quarterback, or you just drafted a quarterback. Granted, we got Josh Rosen and stuff, but we didn't really want Josh Rosen. They just kind of gave him to us.
And I think Hurts, I mean, like you said, Wentz, dude, he gets hurt every year. Like, literally every year he gets hurt. Even in college he got hurt. I mean, yo, it wouldn't surprise me, man, if down the road, if Hurts takes that job from Carson Wentz.
I don't think he's going to take it from Carson. Carson's the better quarterback.
He's the better quarterback, but, yo, when you get hurt every single year. If Nick Foles almost took the job away from you. You know, there was a lot of debate
Nick Foles' job at first, you know.
But there was debate to where, hey, people said, yo, we want Nick Foles.
I mean,
you know, we don't want Wentz somewhere. We want Nick Foles.
Because he won a Super Bowl.
You won the Super Bowl, and you remember the next year what happened. Wentz got hurt. Foles freaking took him on a run, took him in the playoffs, and I think they went to the second round, and Alshon Jeffrey, like, I think he dropped
the pass. Yeah, he's dropping a lot of stuff.
And he got intercepted, or else they probably would have went to another Super Bowl with Nick Foles, you know. So Wentz, I think he's a good quarterback. I don't trust him, man. I'm not as high on him as a lot of people are. And like I said, I think the Hurts pick was a good pick.
I didn't, but I mean, not if you. I mean, I just believe he'd have been there a little later. That's all. A lot of my stuff is you're gonna take a guy cool, but if he's gonna be there later, don't reach. And I feel like sometimes you just get happy, you just start reaching.
I think the Cowboys had a really good draft too.
Yeah, I think they're addressing positions in need as well. So,
I mean, yo, they got CeeDee Lamb, you know, Amari Cooper in the slot. You got Cooper in the slot. You got Gallup, who's really fast. And you got CeeDee Lamb on the outside, man. We got Zeke freaking running the ball. I mean, yo, Dak. Dak, yo, you better do something, Dak, you know? It's like,
gotta do something. Like,
it's like, it's basically set. It just set up for him so perfectly, okay? The defense is a good defense. It's not a bad defense. It's not an elite defense, but it's not a bad defense, you know?
Yeah.
So you got a decent defense, you know, maybe barely top 15 defense. And, like, you got the best offensive line in the league, okay? And they just drafted, like, a center from Wisconsin.
Who was also from Wisconsin.
No. Yeah, also from Wisconsin. You got arguably the best running back in the league. And you got three, like, really good receivers. Dude, it is set up for the Cowboys. Set up. It's on deck. That's why I think it's a good move. That's why I think it's a good move to franchise him and see what he can do. And if he can't get it done this year with this team, after you franchise him, get rid of him.
Get rid of him, start over, I guess, man.
Sign Jameis. Let's talk about Jameis.
With the Saints, man. I think that's gonna be a good pickup, man. Overall, I think it'll be a good pickup.
Yeah.
I think that's a solid pickup, man.
Would you? Yeah, I mean, I think it was a good move on his part. Because Breeze is retiring after this season.
Yeah, man.
And he can just sit back and learn, man. Sit back and learn, man. Like, just learn, like, the mental aspect. Because Jameis, like, he has the talent.
Jameis is good. He just got to work on not throwing 100 interceptions. That's it. Because he threw a lot of touchdowns. I just do that again. Just cut interceptions.
And I think with him, it's mental, man. Like, you can see, like, he's not a good decision maker, okay? You can see that with this play on the field, and you can see that with his actions.
Yeah, off, I know, right?
You know, it's just his decision making is not the best. And just to be around like Sean Payton and Drew Brees and that culture, man, it should be good for him, man. Because even in college, it seems like he wasn't held accountable for his.
True.
You know, to get charged or, you know, accused of rape. And not miss a game is
I think he missed the first half or something like that.
He missed the first half because he made that video when he jumped on the
couch. Oh, he didn't make the video, but so I think somebody got it. Yeah, he jumped on the effort right in the P when that was popular. Yeah, good old Jameis.
Again, not a good decision off the field. But yeah, man, Cam Newton's still out there, man. Like Cowboys, man.
Nah, yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised he's still out there, but I'm sure we'll see it, man. Oh, I'm surprised also. I feel like honestly, Pittsburgh could take him because Big Ben. I'm not banking on him anymore.
I think Cam is he's too good, man, to be a backup.
Definitely. That's what I'm saying. Like,
I think he is.
If I'm Pittsburgh, I'm like, let Ben go, take Cam. But then you might trade injured quarterback for injured quarterback, so I don't know.
I think they got. I think they're locked into Ben, like, financially for a little bit, at least a year or two.
Long as he don't go to the Patriots, which is where I see him going, I'm happy with it.
Yeah, man.
We got to play that guy twice a year. Not going to be fun.
All right, guest. We got a guest. You want to introduce
our guest? Oh, yeah, man. Our guest, Ethan, EA Sports, like 10314. Good guy. He's a super – he loves talking Canes football. He plays Xbox with me. I remember hopping on. This guy was even talking Canes football in the middle of an NBA 2K game. I'm like, hey, guy, we're losing. Focus real quick. But, no, he loves Canes football, man. Good guy. So, welcome in on, Ethan. So first guest we're bringing in is our guy Ethan. He's a big Hurricane fan. We always talk on the timeline. We play 2K together. Handle is EA Sports 10314. Ethan, welcome to the show, my boy. How you holding up?
I'm good, man. I really appreciate you guys having me on here. I love the podcast.
Hey, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate you listening to it. More importantly, I appreciate you coming on. If you're ready, we're going to get into some Canes football talk, man. As you know, the NFL draft just happened. We're talking about the draft. We saw our Canes get drafted. Who's your NFL team? Let's start with that.
Answer your question, big Raiders fan. Raiders fan since I was little. My dad's a Raiders fan, so I grew up a Raiders fan.
Okay, so how did you feel about your team's draft?
Okay, so I got a lot of, my friends were giving me a lot of crap about Ruggs because Judy was there, you know, Jerry Judy. I truly believed out of the wide receivers, he was the best one. You know, his route running, I saw someone compare him to, Antonio Brown-like. And, you know, what makes Antonio Brown special, you know, he's not the biggest, fastest guy, but, man, you know, route running, you know, he proves that it's vital. You can dominate by being a really good route. So we took Ruggs, and, you know, a lot of that, I believe, was simply because, you know, we play in the division with the Chiefs and they are just so fast. And we're hoping that this Tyreek Hill. That's what we're hoping for. You know, that's as much as I hate to say it, being a Raiders fan, man, that's a lot to ask, but I think he can do it.
I mean, since I was born, you guys have been drafting fast receivers and strong arm quarterbacks since I've been born. That's pretty much
he. That's how he. I mean, yeah. That's how we were.
Like, who is he? I don't know. How fast is he? He runs a 4.2. Draft him.
A dictator. I think some people.
Oh,
had him,
yeah, like, I remember that guy. Down.
It was terrible. Like, that speed wasn't worth anything. I was like, my God, man.
I remember that guy.
Oh, Lord. Man. That's how Al made the Raiders successful. But, you know, it's a little different now.
How do you feel about the second pick, dude, in the first round?
I was angry, man. I was so upset. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm listening, and a lot of people are like, oh, they reach, and I'm like, yeah, I'm starting to. I feel like we did too. Like, I hadn't heard anything about this in the first round, and he's an Ohio State guy, and I was like, ah, you know, I never want anything good for Ohio State. I hate those guys. So, giving them more first round picks to their resume just makes me sick. I was like, ah. Come on, man. But
I'll tell you what, Arnett's a good player. He's a good player, but I think he ran, they said he ran a 4.6. He ran in the 4.6s.
They said he's a cornerback. Pretty good corner, but he
as a cornerback
doesn't have top end speed.
But here's my thing with speed, because a lot of people obsess about speed, man. But track speed, it's like you run different with pads versus a straight 40-yard dash. You know, so somebody 40 time might not be great. Like, who is it? DJ Dallas ran like a 4.56, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Which is for regular people, that's super fucking fast. But for NFL, it's like, oh yeah, that's okay, that's good. But it's like we've seen him break like 70-yard touchdown runs. So it's like, I mean, that's fast enough. You know what I mean? If you could break a run to the house and not get caught.
Yeah, I agree with you. But at certain positions, like cornerback, you have to hit a certain benchmark. You got to hit a certain benchmark.
If you've been covering that well since you were a little kid, and even into Division I football, I'm pretty sure you'll be all right.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and but this is, you know, I think if you're, you can survive that. You look at Darrell Revis. Like Darrell Revis was an amazing corner. Man was locked down.
Yeah.
But you looked at the dude wasn't like physically imposing. He wasn't like tall. He wasn't like Richard Sherman. I don't think you'd ever looked at him and said he was the fastest guy. But, you know, the one thing they talked about him was he was just so technically sound. And, you know, he dominated. He was so good at all the ins and outs of playing cornerback that, I mean, you know, Revis Island.
Think about it, like, DBs, yes, cornerbacks usually are the fastest guys on the team, usually. They're usually the fastest guys on the team.
Yeah.
I mean, you started off already in, like, a position where you're backpedaling. You got to turn around and catch up to the receiver who's already going full speed.
Yeah.
So I get it, right? But then you think it, arguably, in my opinion, one of the best cornerbacks of all time, Champ Bailey, right? You guys remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He was fast, but was he, like, a burner where he was in Devin? He wasn't Devin Hester speed.
No.
But he was arguably the... He was fast. Yeah, he was fast, but he wasn't Devin Hester, right? And he was locking down, like, he was dominating the NFL for, like, years.
Yeah, I know that.
You know what I'm saying? Technique works. I mean, it's... Oh, yeah, AFC West.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So Champ Bailey, dude. Cause at one point, because, like, obviously, you know, everyone grows up, you know, admiring the position... A player in a position you played, and I played cornerback growing up, and it was like Champ Bailey was the type of corner I wanted to be.
Yeah, I feel you.
Cause like, dude,
I used to see Champ get beat a lot though.
Look,
I remember him.
It's impossible not to get beat at the DB, but it's impossible.
Yeah,
I know. And to me, cornerback's the hardest position to play.
They talk about it with corner.
True, like if you look at it now, is there a true lockdown corner in the NFL right now?
Well, it's I say no, but I also say it's hard to be because there's so many rules. Like, I'm not sure if they got rid of it, but it's like now, you know, because he's, you know, bump within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, but like now everything's like a pass interference. And you got to let them run their route. And if you impede them from running their route, like, that's a flag. And it's like, you got to be running with them, turn your head to the ball. And then versus when I was in high school, and this is a while ago now as I'm getting older, but when I was in high school and our coaches told us, our cornerback coach was like, hey, so you're running with a guy. And when you see his eyes start to get big, you put your hand up. Because that means the ball is coming in. So you're running, you're looking at the eyes. The eyes get big, you put your hand up, and you block the ball. Even if you didn't touch them, that can still now, because they reach around you, that can still now be a pass interference.
Yeah.
So to say there's not like a true lockdown, I'm like, it's tough when there's all these rules stopping the DBs from being a true lockdown DB.
Absolutely.
Like, cause if we start to play and I knock you on your ass, right, within the first 5 yards of the scrimmage, and you get up, and like the play's already blown up, like, that should be me doing a good job as a DB.
Absolutely.
You didn't get to run your route, I didn't let you. You know what I'm saying? But neither here nor there. Saeed, what you got for our boy Ethan, man?
Okay, so Ethan, let's get back to the draft, specifically with the Hurricanes. What was your biggest surprise as far as Hurricanes related to the draft?
Man, I tell you what, I didn't see Shaq Quarterman going being the first guy. Now, I totally thought he'd get drafted, but I kind of thought it, you know, the kind of thought was DJ Dallas was going to be the first guy off the board. I'm happy for Shaq, you know, he got to go home. And I, you know, love Shaq Quarterman. That guy's been so good to us the past 4 years. He's a leader. And also, you know, you kind of thought that Jeff Thomas, you know, kind of thought he would at least get drafted. I kind of thought, you know, 6th, 7th round guy, you know, he's flashed some serious talent. I mean, 2018 for a while, man, he was looking like the guy. And then all that stuff went down and he got dismissed and he came back and things were the same. It was, I did kind of think teams would take a chance on him. And, you know, I mean, he got signed, which I'm happy for him. In the NFL, the better. We got a rep.
Yep. That is true. He did get signed to the Pats.
And that's a good spot for him.
I saw one guy. Yeah, absolutely. I saw one guy get drafted, I think either in the 6th or 7th round. He's a receiver I've never heard of. He played at Wisconsin. He got charged with rape, I guess, in 2018.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
You saw that? I saw that. You saw that he got kicked off the team. All the charges got dismissed, got back on the team. He didn't really put up good stats, but he was like, he wasn't a big receiver. Wasn't that big. He was like 6'1 or whatnot. He ran in 4.7s. I'm like, these guys are picking that guy over Jeff Thomas?
No joke.
Like, that's crazy, joke, man. Like,
but I mean, So, dude, you guys watched that documentary about that LeBron James documentary about Jeff Thomas High School?
I haven't seen that, no.
So,
I heard about
it. Yeah, it was really good. It was really good. But that's why I really got to find out about Jeff Thomas. Because, like, you see his team in high school, but then since high school, he's quitting on his team. Like, he was always the best player, right? But he quit on his team in high school. Then all this stuff led him back on the team. I believe they won a state championship. Then he comes to the U, right? Freshman year, he was starting as a freshman because of that talent. Even at the U, he was getting like serious minutes at the U. He got like 400 or 500 yards receiving as a freshman, right? But then what happened like a year or two ago? He quit on the team again.
Yeah,
he's about to transfer to Illinois, and then Manny convinced him to stay. All this crazy stuff. And now you're a professional organization. This guy in high school he's the best. In college, he still has potential. He has those flashes that he's the best. But he's quit at every level. Now we sign him to the Patriots. He reminds me of Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Because Antonio Brown is fast. He's fast. But Antonio Brown had some issues.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we can get a productive Jeff Thomas, or we're going to have another guy that's going to quit on us. So I was surprised he didn't get drafted either. But, I mean, I'm glad that he got signed. For sure. I just want him to, if he's pro now, I know he's got his daughter to take care of. He's got his family to take care of. It's like, bro, just please get there, work. Like, this is it. Like, this is where you want to be. You're there now.
Yeah.
Now you got to make that roster and get it. You know what I'm saying?
He kind of reminds me of Antonio Callaway. You know Antonio Callaway?
Yeah, old Florida wide receiver, right?
He played at Booker T. Washington.
Yeah.
Also, he got kicked off the Florida team, I think, for the credit card scandal.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
dude, and he was a baller, man. He just straight up so much talent, and he got drafted by Cleveland. And I think he got released, man, because like drug charge or something, man.
Was it with the fucking Josh Gordon? Was it Josh? Yeah, Josh the Browns receiver. Man. Fucking amazing skill, but he couldn't stop smoking weed and keeps getting kicked out of town. Like, bro, come on, bro. Like, you got people looking up to you, man. Like, I don't know, man. It's just those guys with that talent. Other people would kill for that talent. It's frustrating. Like, you have it. It is. It really is, bro.
Exactly.
It really is.
It's frustrating because you look at these guys, and you're like,
so
man, they literally could have it all. Like, Gordon literally, he put up those back-to-back receiving games and was, and he could have been, you know, one of the richest receivers in the NFL, and he just
could, and then he goes to the Patriots and starts balling out again, and it's like, dude, God, I just hope Jeff Thomas doesn't go down that path. That's all I'm praying.
Seriously.
He does not go down that path. Because he has the
I'm rooting for him, man.
Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon talent, but he also has the Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon like issues. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we'll see, man. You know, we'll see. I hold this guy.
If there's a person that can straighten him out, it'll be Belichick. And if Belichick can't do it,
I don't know, man.
I'll be worried.
Belichick didn't straighten out Gordon or Antonio.
That's so true. Yep.
But you know, the good news is it's not just Jeff Thomas going there. It's Jeff Thomas and I think Philip Dorsett. Yeah, Trayvon Hill's going there, and I think Philip Dorsett's already there. So he got three Hurricanes with him.
No, Dorsett. Dorsett is with the Seahawks.
That's right. Yep.
He just signed with the Seahawks. Seahawks.
I mean, he'll have Trayvon Hill with him, so he'll have a Kane with him. At least I'm like, and Trayvon Hill, for the most part, I don't remember him getting any trouble at the U. So it's like, if they just stay together, man, and Trayvon Hill, I think could make the roster. He's talented. He was out. He didn't get in football shape fast enough, but I think he could still make it. Yeesh, so we'll see, man.
So Ethan, who do you think got drafted or signed with the team? Who do you think is in the best situation to succeed next season? Which player?
Out of the Raiders draft class, who do I think is going to be the most successful?
No, for the Hurricanes.
Oh,
for the Hurricanes.
Okay.
Out of Shaq. Yeah, Shaq, KJ, DJ, Garvin, or any of the that's free agents.
I think Shaq could see playing time with all the dysfunction that's gone on with the Jags. They needed another linebacker. It's tough because, you know, they all got drafted. They weren't high picks. They're, you know, unless they go out and, I mean, they got to dominate in camp and preseason, it'll be tough for them to find playing time. You know, I thought it was really interesting that the Seahawks went and picked up, they picked up DJ. And they picked up, they already had Travis. So I almost wonder if they like Travis because they got Carson there. But, you know, they draft another running back, and Travis played fairly well when he got his chances. So I don't know if they just thought DJ was going to be extra depth. I don't know, guys. We've watched DJ his whole career, and we love him. And, dude, that guy, like, you know, the one I talked about was his contact balance, and you know you can't find that players like that ability to stay on your feet, like you know, that play against Florida when he spun off that guy. It's not too many guys can just do that. That's like something he can do. If I had to pick someone, it's probably Shaq.
Shaq is a solid pick. I've already said he's going to be a solid contributor. Yeah. I think he's the most consistent guy. He knows football. He's got the instincts. He knows what to do. He knows where to do it. So I think he's really smart. So I'm going to say Shaq as well, but here's what I'd also say. So I'm going to put him in order from Shaq, KJ Osborne, even though I know he was like sixth round or whatever, and then DJ. Because KJ Osborne, because the Vikings drafted, I believe they drafted the Florida wide receiver.
Oh.
But I believe KJ works harder than any, and I don't know all these guys that much, but I know KJ. I know how hard KJ works and how serious he is about this football stuff and how appreciative he is. I believe KJ will outshine that Florida. I think it was Jefferson.
It was Justin Jefferson from LSU.
I honestly believe KJ is going to get out there and work his ass off. And I believe KJ will make the 53-man roster, one. And I think I don't see him as like a 1,000-yard receiver in the NFL, but I see him as like a definitely like a 500-600-yard guy, you know, 6-7 touchdowns in the season type guy. I can see that.
Yeah,
I'm going to go DJ. Oh, yeah, he did. Solid. And then third, I'm going to go DJ because, like you said, I mean, I don't know how old the Carson running back is. I'm not 100% sure. But now you got two younger, good fucking running backs in Travis Homer and DJ Dallas. And DJ, like they said, is the best pass. Exactly. So, and at one point last year, it was when they had to bring back Marshawn Lynch from injury or from retirement to help them. It's like, you don't got to worry about that. Now you got DJ. And they said DJ is the best pass blocking running back in that draft class. Not me. It's what the experts are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also a really good running back. I'm so glad he went to a functional organization, man. I believe he deserves it, dude. Because I wanted him in Miami, but I'm like, I know up until like most recent draft, I've this is the happiest I've ever been in my life. But before that, I'm like, we were usually terrible. I'm glad the Texans ain't grabbing because they're fucking shit show. The Jaguars are a shit show. Like, I'm glad he went to a functional organization. I'm glad he gets to like leave Florida. I mean, because you know he's from Georgia, then he goes to Miami. And Shaq is. I'm glad Shaq got to go to Jacksonville. But I'm like, sometimes I want these kids to, you know, go somewhere else just to kind of, you know, live their life and experience the rest of the world and stuff. So I'm glad.
That's true.
So those are my three guys. My bad, I was rambling on a bit.
No, I got you. I think I really think it's up in the air. I really could see any of those guys showing out. I could see KJ showing out. I could see DJ showing out. I could see Jeff Thomas showing out. Garvin, I could see Garvin blowing up. So I really don't know, man. It's just all of them. I'm a little worried about DJ. I think he didn't go into the best situation.
They were hurt, though, remember? They had Travis Homer. They had to call Marshawn Lynch out of retirement.
They were hurt, but they have Carson, who's a really good running back. They have Rashad Penny, who's a first-round pick, I think, 2 years ago. So they're probably not going to give up on him just because he's a first-round pick. They got Travis Homer. They got Travis Homer, who I think he'll definitely stay, just because he's such a good special teams player.
I got a question for you too.
We'll see.
I know my answer. Who do you think is going to be our sleeper Kane? Because I already know, and I have a feeling because since high school I've been tracking this guy, right? But who do you think is going to be our sleeper Kane that's going to show out? I'm like, oh shit, like he's doing really fucking well.
As far as
in the draft and free agency signings and all that right now, that's currently a pro.
Oh,
yeah, or just signed a free agent contract. So all our boys that left, which one do you think that's gonna have the surprising like career?
To me, I think Jeff Thomas, because the Patriots receivers are terrible. And if he literally just listens to what Bill Belichick tells him to do, he's more talented than anyone
that's
else
true.
On that roster.
That's true.
Roster as far as receivers, you know? Jeff Thomas, like, okay, I know Philip Dorsett's not on the team, okay? But he's much more talented than Philip Dorsett.
If you take raw talent,
he can do.
I'm gonna go with Jeff Thomas, but you give me worth ethic. I'm going with Dorsett.
To me, Dorsett, to me, he's a one trick pony.
Yep.
go deep.
Let's say it. I agree. Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, like, so that's why I say Thomas, man, just because he has the talent to overtake any of those receivers. Yeah. You know, I mean, who's the best receiver on the team right now for the Patriots? Edelman.
Mm-hmm.
Edelman's getting older. Edelman is just on the decline.
He's been injured too.
So I say,
how about you, Ethan?
He's been injured.
That's tough. I like the Thomas answer. You know, I could see coming to mind. I think Garvin. I think he could cut out a career because physically that guy is gifted. You know, he's got what you want in a pass rusher. He's long. He's athletic. He's tall. I mean, if he hones in his skills, because you know, I remember back he had against Notre Dame, freshman, and he was getting a few minutes, and I watched him like, man, this guy might be great, and he, you know, he didn't blow up.
It dropped off. It dropped off.
But you know, a lot of guys have that happen. You know, you get to the pros and you start really thinking about to make your career, and they just get big. I mean, like Arian Foster was. You don't have to be highly drafted. Work. That's the biggest thing.
I mean, we got Allen Hurns. That was 100% proof. Allen Hurns became a 1,000-yard receiver.
Yes, sir.
Now he's battling injuries, but let me tell you guys, my guy, and I see it already. It is Romeo Finley with the Los Angeles Chargers.
I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
He was.
I think he's going into a good situation.
Yeah.
Now I don't know if they're going to have him I'm not sure if they're running strikers in the NFL like that. Because he was a safety in high school, but you could put him at a linebacker, put the size on, or you could run safety. Because you had Derwin James back there. And, I mean, you got him. You got Denzel Perryman, linebacker, who's obviously, you know, size-wise is bigger than Romeo. But, like, Romeo could play either one of those positions, man. And Derwin did get hurt last year. Right? So, hey, I'm not saying Romeo's going to take Derwin's spot. But I believe you can find a spot for Romeo in that defense, and I think he's gonna be solid, man. I think he's gonna be with the Chargers for a while.
He could. He's versatile, and coaches love the versatility.
Yeah.
And you know I'd kind of look at him as a kind of a tweener guy, but not a bad thing because he kind of offers some run support and pass coverage, and you know in today's NFL. Out, you know, teams also run from the shotgun, so he's versed.
It's exactly. Now here's the thing. So, and now you're in a division with Patrick Mahomes, right? And the Chiefs, and he's throwing 400 yards a game. They're spreading the ball out. Now you got another guy that can cover, right? Because he is that striker, and Ohio State calls it a Viper, whatever. But it's that in between hybrid of linebacker safety. And I do believe guys like Romeo Finley, like Gilbert Frierson, they're becoming an evolution into modern day football. And you need that now because the traditional, like all the argument we had about Shaq, right, was he's that old school middle linebacker, run stopper. You know, he can make some plays of coverage, but you're not going to ask him to guard a slot receiver, right? Because he's going to get burnt.
No.
Now you're running against Patrick Mahomes, and they got a 5 wide receiver set. Like shit, bro. Like you want to have that Romeo Finley in there, and now with the Chargers, dude, I think it's a great fit for the Chargers, a great pickup, and I believe they're gonna see dividends like immediately, just like how fucking Shedrick Redwine was showing out playing with the Browns, just like how Jaquan Johnson showing out playing with the Bills, man. Like you come from the U, and people like Bill. There's a reason Bill Belichick keeps bringing Hurricanes to the Patriots because he knows. No matter what our record looks like, you go to Miami, that work ethic, it's in you. It's in you. Because you're going to have those Michael Irvin still come back you're gonna have those Duke Johnsons. Those dude, and this is just a little side note. I remember last year when we got beat by FIU. Like, not only were the fans disgusted, Deion Bush disgusted on Twitter. Lamar Miller disgusted on, like, they were like, what the fuck, shaking my head. They were going off, but I was like, yo, this is fucking embarrassing. Former players, because they know, like, even though Deion Bush and those guys didn't win that championship, ain't no way in hell they would lose to fucking FIU and Louisiana Tech season.
That's no joke.
You know what I'm saying?
And, I mean.
So, bro, they were going off, bro. Fucking, who was it? Ryman. Oh, the Jags. Oh, I forgot his name.
Brandon Linder?
Big white guy. No, I don't think it was Linder. I don't think it was Tyler Gauthier either. Was it? But it was Linder. Dude, it was Linder. Bro.
Linder.
Yeah. Everyone fucking, Anthony Feliciano, like, bro, it was, they were, they were blowing up Twitter, bro. They were going in. This is fucking embarrassing. What the fuck? Like, they were, because they know, even though you don't, they didn't win that championship, they went there to win that championship. It wasn't no just giving up. They tried their best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even the guys that got blew out 58-0 to Clemson, I guarantee those same guys would not lose to FIU. Because that same year, the year we, I believe it was Coach Rick first year, we beat FIU like 77-0, some shit like that, or 77-3.
Yeah.
That's the year I believe they, yeah, that was, I think that was Coach Rick's first year. And that's the first year that, and we went, and we won a bowl game against West Virginia. Like, yeah, we still lost to Florida State, and we didn't win the Coastal. But when FIU was on the schedule, we still blew them the fuck out, because that's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So even though those guys, they weren't like fucking dominant, they weren't losing, bro. So it's like, I think coaches still know that standard, even though we're not winning rings like we should be, and not win the Coastal like we should be, they know the standards that the city holds these kids to, the school holds these kids to, former players hold these kids to. So that's why I believe people like Bill Belichick, he always comes. For the past couple of years, they take a hurricane into their camp, don't they? Right, Braxton yeah. Berrios, they got Phil Dorsett. Like,
what do you guys think about Bandy for the Steelers?
I'm glad he got the opportunity. I wish he stayed a senior year, but I'm glad he got the opportunity. I know what he can do, so hey,
if he
he's gonna get to prove it if he makes the roster.
Yep, I think he's got the talent, man. Like, we've seen it. Like, that guy can play, and that his junior year was a down year, but man, that guy's a dog. You know.
He left after a down year bad call.
He had no fear. Like, some of his tackles he'd come up and make, like, you know, damn, man, that's Bandy. He's 5'9" out there, 180 fear. Like, I love Bandy when he was with us. You know, I also wish he would have stayed. You know, he certainly could have used the development. You know, I just hope he goes and busts his ass.
Sure.
And something of them both, because we know we can.
Yeah. Do you guys remember the FSU game?
Yeah, they were on the entire game.
And I you know what? He locked him down.
Yeah, he did. Hey,
yes, sir.
I don't question his heart or talent. And
Terry,
but shit, bro. Like,
yeah, Terry. Terry's 6'4". Terry running 4.3s. Terry's gonna be a first round pick. He's gonna be a first round pick next season, more than likely. I think he's the best receiver in the ACC, or he was last season. I think he's going to be. And Bandy shut him down.
Yeah, he does.
Bandy has skills.
Hey, Ethan, man, dude. Want to keep you on here too long, bro. But we do appreciate you coming on, talking some shit with us, talking some football with us, man. Definitely got to have you on the show again.
Oh, I appreciate
it. I just want to say, man, I appreciate you hopping on, and I appreciate you listening. Obviously, and you know, we got to run some more NBA 2K later on.
Yes,
bro.
Sir. Absolutely. Hey, thank you.
Always.
Thank you so much for having me on, guys. I always enjoy the chance to. I mean, it's nice talking football with people that know football, and even more so, I love talking to Canes fans, man. You know, Canes fam, they're the best.
Yeah, man,
they're the best, and there's nothing better.
They really are, bro. They really are, and we got the best Twitter. We got the best everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Best tailgates. It's all
absolutely.
All right, brother. Hey, appreciate you coming on, man.
I appreciate having you on. Thank you.
That is another episode of the Miami Lifestyles Podcast. Hey, it's your boy, West Coast Zoe. Of course, we got Saeed. We got Zach Jumpman. I appreciate from the bottom of my heart, man, anyone that gives us the time of day listening to this, because I know we're just on here talking shit. I do appreciate you guys, man. Stay tuned. Don't forget to look out for the next episode and hit us up, man, if you guys are trying to get on and talk some football with us. All right. Peace. All right, brother.